this is the end of the innocence. That's a tough way to start the show tonight. Good evening. 7:09, Mark Harmon in for Karen Conti tonight with you for 2 hours. I didn't need that. Last thing I needed was the end of the innocence right now. We are way past that point, right, team? It is a challenge and a challenge times 10 for all of us. So we're with you tonight till 9 o'clock. I got a bunch of guests coming on. Love to talk to you to start the show tonight, 312-981-7200. My name is Mark Harmon. Good to be with you on 720 WGN. Hope you're staying safe out there. Hope you're getting your curbside delivery, your curbside pickup. You're connecting with your family. You're connecting with your friends. And if you do have to go out, you're being safe about it. I had no problem getting over here tonight, obviously. There wasn't much traffic. There's about 5 parking spots that are free by WGN that I never, ever get. But I got one last night, and there was 4 to spare. And I got one today, and there was 3 to spare. So we're doing a great job, from all I can tell, following the stay at home. And there are some unintended benefits of the coronavirus. And I guess one of them for me is that I got free parking the last 2 nights coming into WGN. Woo. All right, so I don't want to be an alarmist starting the show. But, you know, everyone's reading and paying attention to the news, right? And in the Tribune today, there was a story about Todd Favaca, F-A-V-A-K-E-H. I hope I'm pronouncing that right. Favaca. So he goes to Austria on March the 9th. He's on a ski trip. He comes home, doesn't feel good, calls it the worst cold of his life, feels wiped out. His head, as they write, so congested it felt like a bowling ball. His ears ache, his throat's killing him. He's got to lie down every hour. Of course, he eventually goes and gets tested. And he originally couldn't get the test because he wasn't exposed to anybody with the coronavirus. Then somebody in his network popped up and told everybody that, indeed, I have it, so you should go get yourself tested. He gets tested. He finds out that, indeed, he has it. So you had medical workers coming in. They're wearing their protective suits, excuse me. They put a swab in his throat. They put other swabs up his nostrils. All of this taking samples, right? None of that sounds pleasant, does it? And then 3 days later, he finds out he's got the virus. So his quotes, the last week and a half have been a kind of hell. I was totally exhausted. I feel mentally and physically drained. And he's now recovering. Doctors told him, hey, there's nothing we really can do right now. You got to treat it like a normal cold. Take some Tylenol, take some Mucinex, do some Vicks VapoRub, one of my favorite sick remedies. Drink some tea, gargle some salt water. No cure, just the standard stuff as we continue to look for the vaccine, try to invent the vaccine. Prayers up for everybody who's actually trying to do that. You are true heroes out there. We all love you. We're all rooting for you. We all will do anything we can. I think I can speak for everyone on that one. I certainly can speak for myself. So his quotes are, it was scary as hell while you're in it. There's nothing you can do but grind it out, unfortunately. And then he says, you quickly realize what's important in life. It's very true. There's nothing more important than your family and loved ones. And it's taken this to help me realize that. So, I mean, I think we all realize that, right? But I think we also realize it even more when we're sick and we're scared and we don't know what's going to happen. And you start telling all the people around you how much you love them and how much you appreciate their support and how they've been there for you, all of it. So, but my point in bringing this up, and it's not to be an alarmist and it's not to scare you or any of that, but it is to say that that doesn't sound like a lot of fun. So I know there's a lot of us in around my age range, mid-40s or younger than me, we're like, you know, if I get it, it'll be fine. But that's the scariest thing for me. Like, you don't know how it's going to impact you. And again, not being on the alarmist side here, but I'm reading today about the 12-year-old in Georgia. 12-year-old girl with coronavirus on ventilator. And I'm not trying to scare any children out there. But that's a true story going down in Atlanta. And so we keep on, you know, hearing from everyone that, hey, it's much more impact on old people and people with underlying conditions. And I'm sure all that's true. And there, I think people take some level of comfort in that. But I also think, hey, 12-year-old in Atlanta, this dude was just on a ski trip. And he had some underlying stuff, but or maybe he didn't actually. I'm sorry, I'm confusing him with someone else. But here's a guy who was on a ski trip, and he's recovering. But it sounds like he's been through the ringer to do it, man. So I know. I hope we're all being safe out there. I know we are. But just if you can do, I guess, one step better, to me, seems like it, which means that I'm going to take a break right now and go wash my hands. Quick timeout, 720 WGN. WGN 312-981-7200 is the phone number. Hey, Mark, why not have your dad join via phone to answer some legal questions? Wasn't he a lawyer? We can call my father if you want to do that. I'm not opposed. We got a very busy show, but we'll get Papa Fred on here. Let me send you, Ben, I'm going to send you a text with my dad's number. Let's see if he'll pick up, all right? Papa Fred's a very busy man, but I think he might make time for us. Just, I don't know what legal questions, but I actually want to check in on him. My dad's one of those, I love my father. He's a great man. 94 years old. A little bit of a cowboy.
Your dad's awesome, man.
Yeah. I called him up the other day. Papa Fred, let me go get those groceries for you. Mark, you don't need to drive out here to get the groceries. We can order them. They'll put them in a bag for us. I'll drive over there. I'll put it in the car. No big deal. Yeah, Dad, I don't think that's a great idea. You're 94. Let me get those groceries for you. But I'll be honest, you know, hey, when I'm in the store, it's like store Olympics. Which aisle is there nobody walking around or less people? Do I have enough space to make it down with my grocery cart on my Target aisle here? Or should I go back around to the other way? Any rate, so I mean, you got to be careful out there, right? I'm sure everybody is doing that. Oh, yeah, you can call him. Thanks, Ben. So I want to give you some positive stuff coming up here today. And coming up at 7:30, by the way, we'll have Gary Conkright on, who's with Physics IQ. He's working on some technology that hopefully will help us identify the coronavirus and keep us safer. We'll talk to him. 7:45, Kelly Kitley's going to be with us, Serendipitous Psychotherapy. Just get you a little in the moment. For those of you who have a lot of anxiety around this, I understand, right? It's normal. By the way, part of the reason why we're here right now is because back in the day, we had some anxious people who were afraid of the animals. It's built into us. It's going to come out during this time frame. I get it. So we'll have Kelly on at 7:45. I got some local business people on too, some who have furloughed them, their employees, local hotels. So we'll do that in the 8 o'clock hour, and an expert on working from home coming up at 8:30. But here's some positive stuff for you. Number one, and this came from beautiful Sports Illustrated today, there will be many hurdles. For those of you who are missing sports, I would be one of those people. Did my dad deny us? My dad is unavailable right now. What is he in the washroom? What type of response is that? I apologize to the text line. I thought that Papa Fred would make time for us, but apparently he's unavailable. I hope there's nothing wrong. We'll have to check in with him at the break. But here we go. So the NBA and other sports leagues looking to resume play. A lot of challenges, right? As far as, are these guys healthy or are they not healthy? And current test for COVID-19, it takes at least a day, often several days, for it to come back and whether or not you know. But they are working right now on apparently getting a test that where you can get the test and you're going to get the result that day. So I don't think that means that we will be able to have fans in the stands per se. But if you can actually take a test that day and we have enough tests where we can do that for our sports leagues, where everybody else who needs a test, who has been exposed or is feeling sick, can get it. Eventually, we're going to get to that point, I would think, right? We're going to continue to have more and more tests available. That's how this is going to go. Well, then, if you get to that point where you can do the tests on a daily thing, well, then we can actually maybe have some sports, which would be sweet. And it would be a nice distraction. And I like watching old games plenty. But it's also, it'd be nice to actually get some semblance, even if we didn't have anybody in the stands. I still think that would be nice. Which also makes me wonder, like, right now, can you, for those of us who are looking to get workouts in, I went to the park the other day. I'm out there with my basketball, and there's a kid and his father on one side of the court. I'm by myself on the other, and I'm dribbling around. I'm getting my exercise in. Now it's a little, and it doesn't matter to me. If I go back to my childhood, snowing out there right now, I'd go play in the snow. I love playing in the snow as long as the ball will bounce. I mean, and we need some level of sanity. So, but I'm wondering if people think it's okay to do that. Like, would you go out to a park right now, even by yourself, there's no one on a court, and shoot around? Do people feel comfortable with that? And another thing, like, what about for the tennis people out there? Courts are open. And the parks, you're allowed to walk through. So, and we're on a stay at home. But when that's over, in the middle of April, hopefully, would you do that? And I feel like we need it, but it also feels scary for me. All right, apparently my dad is not as busy as he was a minute ago. And now is this Papa Fred?
This is Papa Fred.
Dad, what were you doing that you were unavailable a minute ago?
You hung up the phone too quick, whoever called.
Okay.
What can I do for you?
Well, I just figured we would check in with you, Dad. How did you stay at home today?
Yeah, we stayed home all day. Yeah.
Okay.
We haven't gone out.
Okay.
Are you on the radio today?
Yeah, I'm on the radio right now, Dad. You're on WGN. Oh. Did our producer Ben not tell you that? You just called the radio station.
Okay, all right.
You're talking to all of Illinois, Chicago, 38 states right now, Dad.
Oh my God! Okay, hello everybody.
There you go. So people wanted to ask you legal questions. I'm not exactly sure what legal questions. So text line, feel free to weigh in here. But Dad, let me ask you something. Are you going to allow me to get you your groceries this coming week? Can we make a deal right now?
Take that up with Adele.
With Adele?
Yeah, take it up with her.
Okay, I'll talk to your wife about this.
How long
have you guys been married now, Dan?
It'll be 28 years.
28 years.
Yeah. You know, that was, you know.
I don't want you to go to.
Okay.
All right. Thank you, Dad.
Yeah.
I know. I miss Mom, too. I appreciate it. And you guys have been married for a long time, 28 years. It's beautiful. Did she make, what's for dinner tonight, Dad? Do you know?
No, she hasn't told me yet. We're reading late. Anyway, who have you had on today? Anybody?
We've got a lot coming up here, Fred. The show just started right now, so you're the first guest block.
Oh boy!
How are you keeping yourself busy, Dad?
Actually, I'm doing an awful lot of sleeping, Mark. You know, I have a sleep apnea, so
right.
I do less. But then I stay awake and I watch TV or I go to the internet and maybe do a little work. Looking there.
Last week you did the Nordic trek, right?
I've been doing the Nordic. You've been encouraging me, and I did. I've done it 2 days in a row. Today I did about 15 minutes.
So it's going to be a great show tonight, Dad. This is what I want you to do when we get off the phone here.
Who are you going to have, may I ask?
Well, we got a lot of people coming up here. Coming up at the bottom of the hour, we've got a guy who's got some technology that's hopefully going to combat the coronavirus. His name is Gary Cockright.
Wow.
Right? Yep. We have a serendipist psychotherapist coming up at 7:45 for those of us who are feeling anxiety out there. That could help you, Dad. And we've got a guy who's an expert on working from home who can give some strategies to those. That's coming up at 8:30. So we're here until 9. So this is what I want you to do. Can you take the radio into the your exercise room where you do the Nordic track, you put on the radio nice and loud, and you listen to this fantastic conversation, and you do 7 minutes, and then you get yourself moving a little bit, and then you're ready for dinner. Adele will have something beautifully cooked up. Maybe we get some cottage cheese and some beans and maybe a little flaxseed.
It'll be healthy.
Yeah, I know it will. That's beautiful.
Okay.
All right, Dad. Thank you.
How late will you be on tonight?
Until 9 o'clock, okay?
Okay. And when did you start? Just now?
I started at 7.
And you're out by yourself?
Yeah, I'm on by myself. I know.
Oh, wow.
I know you're worried about me when I'm on by myself.
Well, that's... Yeah. Yeah. I think you do a great job. I could never do that. You sure didn't get those genes from me.
Well, what did you do for your career? What were you again? Weren't you a lawyer?
I started out by being a CPA, and then I went into law.
Right, right. Well, let's not diminish that talent now. Right.
Okay. All right. Right.
Right. Yeah. Right. Okay. All right, Dad. Love you.
Okay. All right. Good luck to you. Bye bye.
Thank you.
Bye.
I appreciate it. Good luck indeed, my father. I'm sorry for the text line. Let's see here. Thanks for calling your dad, Mark. I love hearing him on the airways. You're more than well. I love calling my dad. Arkansas saying hello to Papa Fred. I always love having my dad on. In Korea, the text line is saying they're having a quick home test. You know, that's what's coming, text line. We're going to continue to get better and better, and my belief in humanity and the intelligence of all of us to do everything we can as quickly as we can to make us as safe as we can, that's all coming down the pipe. It's just a matter of time. So all of us need to do what we're doing right now, which is the social distancing, doing what I'm trying to do for Papa Fred, bring him his groceries and whatnot, and taking care of the people that you take care, you know, that you love the most, right? So, and I would love to hear strategies of what people are doing, staying sane. It's the human spirit, though, is amazing, right? None of us had any idea that our lives would be exactly what it is today a month ago, right? Even two weeks ago. Maybe even a week ago. Maybe a week ago we started to get a feeling for it. And you know what we do? We just adapt on the fly as best as we can. This is the new reality. What do we have to deal with? How are we going to do it? How are we going to defeat it? How are we going to move forward? It's beautiful, right? I don't want to be too Pollyanna here, but it really is. And I see all over the internet, people are doing different hangouts, and they've got all their friends on their computer screen, and someone's drinking wine, and another one's having a beer, and someone's eating a pot roast, and the vegetarian's having a Beyond Burger, and they're all hanging out, connecting. It's beautiful. I love it. Ben, you want to chime in there? Go ahead.
Yeah, so my sister lives in Texas, and she told me they have to do the curbside thing too. But down there, they are allowing curbside alcohol pickup as well.
That's huge.
Wouldn't that be nice?
Curbside alcohol pickup. Yeah. You know, I'll be honest though. And I think a lot of people. Hey, listen, have a glass of wine, have a whiskey, even have a couple of beers. Me myself, I'm a little like, I'm trying to keep myself as healthy as possible. I'm taking vitamins. I'm drinking orange juice. So I'm like, as far as like, you know, let's get boozed at home. I'm not doing that. That's just not my strategy. But hey, if it works for you, it works for you. I'm not telling you what to do or not to do. All right, we're coming on back here. Hopefully, we'll get some little uplift here with Gary Conkright, CEO of Physic IQ. They're going to do something that I'm going to try to understand to help combat the coronavirus. That is next, 720 WGN. 720 WGN, going to be with you tonight, with you till 9 o'clock. My name is Mark Carman. Gary Conkright, Phys IQ, and he is trying to help us combat the coronavirus with technology, which I don't understand, but Gary's going to explain it to me and to you. Gary, welcome to WGN. Thank you for joining us.
Thank you, Mark. It's a pleasure to be with you tonight.
It's a pleasure to have you, Gary. So tell us what you guys are doing at Phys IQ to try to help things get back to normal, so to speak.
Sure, Mark. So, you know, Phys IQ is a venture capital-backed healthcare startup company located in Chicago. We have an office in Naperville as well. And we're using artificial intelligence to see very subtle changes in human health, usually pre-symptomatic, meaning even the patient doesn't feel or see the change. And then we can get that data that we process from any wearable sensor. Our AI system was first developed at Argonne National Laboratory, as you know, just a few miles southwest of Chicago. And we commercialized that technology a few years back to monitor the health of jet aircraft engines and nuclear power plants with the University of Chicago. And since 2011, we've been focused on monitoring human health with the same technology at Phys IQ.
So let's put this into layman terms here, Gary. I would be, if I was a client of yours, I'd be wearing something that would be monitoring my health, that would alert me to changes going on that I might not be aware of. Am I hearing that right?
Yeah, so our clients are healthcare providers, clinical studies, sponsors, and such, who would, let's say you appeared at the hospital with COVID symptoms and was confirmed to have the disease, but not well enough to, or not sick enough to be put in the hospital. So they might discharge you from home, put our product on you, which would be a wearable, and a cell phone that would collect the data from your while you're at home, send it to our cloud. Our analytics would process that and then let the clinician or the nurse or doctor know when your condition had changed so that they could call you in and take care of you. So it's a way of improving or expanding the amount of patients we can take care of during this epidemic.
So in essence, if we are having a shortage of hospital beds, Gary, is this one way to perhaps mitigate that situation where people are at home and they can be monitored but don't have to be in the hospital? Am I following along?
You got it. So, you know, the national challenge we have, Mark, is that as this surge caused by the coronavirus increases, we're going to see the same thing that they saw in China and are now seeing in Italy and Spain and France. There will be greater demand than there is supply. So in order to take care of all those patients, the ones who are least critical will have to be discharged to home so that we can take care of the patients that just have to have ventilation or some type of advanced care. But we still want to monitor them so that when their condition does worsen, we can take care of them, bring them in the hospital, and hopefully mitigate their condition.
Gary Conkright, CEO, PhysIQ, with us here on 720 WGN as we try to get to understand some of the technological things we can do around the virus to keep people safe. Gary, so people wouldn't get that directly from you. It would be they would go and see a doctor, and then the doctor would suggest, here, we're gonna have you wear this. It's not something that they should be reaching out to find you, correct?
That's right. This is a solution for doctors and nurses who have more patients to take care of than they have the capacity. So what would happen is they would be sent home. A nurse would log into our system periodically to see the, let's say, 100 patients that are being monitored by our system. 90 are doing just well, but 10 are not. And the question is, which 10 need care right now? So for those 10, the nurse would be able to identify that and do something, whether it's dispatch a home health care nurse to the home or the nursing home, skilled nursing facility, or call them and say, you know, you probably ought to come in for another checkup.
Are you getting calls from nursing homes and or hospitals in Chicago, perhaps New York too? What's your phone lines looking like, Gary?
Yeah, the interest is pretty intense. We're in discussions with several federal agencies, some progressive healthcare systems, and some of the people you mentioned, because everyone sees this surge is coming. It's going to get a lot worse before it gets better, and you know, there's a big need out there. This is going to hit all of us, and on a personal level, I have a daughter who's a nurse on the front line taking care of patients, and we're all concerned for these heroes, the doctors and nurses that are on the front line taking care of patients. We need to stretch the personal protective equipment, or what they call in the industry PPE, as far as possible so that they're protected, and we also need to reduce their exposure. Every time they need to go into a room or visit a home to take vitals or check on a patient, there's a potential exposure. And we lose too many of the healthcare workers for self-quarantine purposes or because they get sick, we're really going to be in a fix. So by continuously monitoring patients and the caregivers, hopefully we can extend the time that this protective personal equipment we have today, and also just reduce the exposure that they might have.
Yeah, that's the scariest part, at least one. And there's so many scary parts. I shouldn't say the scariest because that's be hard to rank order them. But as far as having our healthcare workers get sick and not having people behind them and forcing them to work while they have the virus, that's a total nightmare. And I think it's partly why the governor is asking, hey, for anybody who's retired or recently left the industry, we'd love to have you back, because we're going to need as many heroes, as you put it, Gary, correctly, on the front lines here. And, you know, it sort of feels like we're, and I, you know, we're doing everything we can. I get it. But it feels like we're, you know, we were speeding towards the stoplight here, not, and we hit the brakes. And do we hit it, you know, have we hit it fast enough, right?
That's right. And I was talking to a healthcare system just a few days ago, and they were telling me that they have one confirmed case, but once they had that confirmed case, they had to send 10 nurses and doctors in self quarantine condition, because they could have, you know, they could now be carriers of that. And you can't let that happen too often, which is why this PPE is so critical that we preserve it, and we can do that with technology.
Gary Conkright, CEO of PhysIQ. You've been doing this for a while. This is not your first experience with a deadly virus. Weren't you involved with Ebola back in 2015?
Yeah, that's right. We were honored to be part of a group championed by Scripps Health out in San Diego. They were called by the White House during the Ebola crisis and asked to contribute, and Scripps reached out to us, used our product, and they dispatched doctors to Sierra Leone to monitor confirmed Ebola patients in kind of like a MASH unit. And they used our product to monitor those patients so that they didn't have to go in every 2 hours and take vitals. They could stand outside, get the same kind of ICU quality readings as they would have had if they'd gone in. And, you know, they still had to go in every 6 or 7 hours just for a, you know, visual. But it significantly reduced the amount of time they were in these isolation tents, exposing themselves and burning through this PPE that is you know, a problem.
Gary, last question. Was there anything from that 2015 time period that you learned that seems to apply to today?
Yeah, a lot. So, you know, it proves that you can get the same type of monitoring and vital sign data that you would get in with a nurse going in and doing that work, that the devices and technology is reliable. We saw changes in health earlier than probably would have been picked up by a clinician. And today that we're using that learning to build out our product use it in this case.
Yeah. Gary, appreciate the time. Thanks for doing what you're doing. And sounds like you could have a vital part in getting things a little bit safer for everybody out there. So thanks for the time tonight, all right?
You bet, Mark. Thanks a lot.
Gary Conkright, CEO of PhysIQ. And that makes a lot of sense, right? You can't have everybody in the hospital. And we're seeing that from all the public officials, if you are sick, stay home, self-quarantine. We don't have enough hospital beds. We're not set up to have a pandemic. So this is one way that perhaps hospitals, doctors can get the information on people and get them the treatment they need. Got to think out of the box here, right? A little bit of creative. So I appreciate Gary taking time. And I know his connection wasn't great there, but I thought it was good enough to keep him on the line. So Kelly Kitley is coming up here. Before we get to Kelly, just one, I got one little complaint for everybody as I try to lighten things up here for a second. I love that we're keeping everything clean. I love that we got the wipes. I walked in here tonight, wiped down the board, wiped down the microphone, wiped down the door handles. Everybody's doing their part here at WGN to keep everything safe so we can come in here and continue to do shows, which is what we want to do. Now, and I know that people are a little bit low on toilet paper. I get it. There was some hoarding going on, became an issue. Maybe using paper towels and napkins at home. But we are officially clogging the toilets coast to coast. And this is something we cannot have. Saw this story. Many Americans seem to be following the recommendations of public health officials to clean and sterilize countertops like we're doing right here. The problem, they're then tossing the disinfectant wipes, the paper towels, and other paper products into the toilet. Come on now. Right into the trash can. I know you want to get rid of it. You're scared. Something could be on it. But into the trash can. If you want to, and you want to throw it out right away, that's cool. Wrap it up. Get it in there. Throw it. Get into the can outside, and or however you're going to do it. Maybe if you live in a high rise, down the old, you know, down the old chute, we're done. But let's keep our toilets functioning at a high level. We all need that. We're all at home right now. This is key. Let's be together on that one. Quick timeout. We'll talk to Kelly Kittley coming on back here. Get some mental health going on. 720 WGN. People weighing in on the workouts on the text line here. 312-981-7200. Hi, guys. I went for a short walk around the block. All good. And April was taking pictures of the snow-covered bushes. She seemed happy taking, shared her happy thoughts of snow, and it was an older neighbor that usually is quiet. I responded to her adventure with a photo. She smiled and saying that walking is a good replacement to the basketball court. I love that people are doing their different levels of connection right now. We need that, do we not, Kelly Kittley, who joins us now?
Hi, Mark. Hi. How are you?
Kelly, I'm great. Kelly is with Serendipis Psychotherapy. She's an expert in anxiety and depression and PTSD and obsessive compulsive disorder, enhancing relationships with couples. You do it all, do you not, Kelly?
I do my best is what I'm trying to do right now for myself, my family, and my clients. That's for sure.
So what are you telling your clients right now who are stuck in their house or their apartment and they're trying to do everything right, but they are feeling perhaps a little challenged, maybe a little bit more alone, not getting the standard connection that they're used to?
Well, thank you so much for asking, because anybody who has struggled with loneliness or having difficulty communicating or attaching with other people are, you know, a little bit at higher risk, just because they need to be even more proactive and do things differently than what they may struggle to do already, which is reaching out to people, still making sure that people are reaching out and checking in on others, so that there's an emotional connection, and certainly being able to focus on just what's in the moment. Anybody who struggles with anxiety or depression may have thoughts of what's going to happen in the future and doom and gloom and catastrophic thinking and the what ifs. We don't know anything other than what's right in front of us, and we can speculate. But when we do that, we can get into a deep spinning out of control in our thoughts, which just creates more anxiety, more depression. So I'm encouraging my clients to get on YouTube and listen to a guided meditation. I've uploaded some guided meditations for people too through our Renew Studio. My sisters and I own a wellness studio, so we've been doing virtual workouts there. I'm encouraging people to just get outside and get some fresh air. That's a game changer. And really, I think oftentimes some of the suggestions I'm making, because we've been in this shelter time for, I'm out in Oak Park, so this has been going on a little longer than in Chicago. People range from feeling super hopeful to then maybe an hour later feeling despair and discouraged. And we need to just kind of accept where we're at. I know sometimes people are trying to really feel better, but they might not be, or it just might move the needle a little bit. And acceptance is really important. These are scary times, and it's okay to acknowledge that and recognize that. I oftentimes tell people we're not responsible for our first thought. It's our second and third thought that if we don't catch it, we could go down into a dark place.
Yeah, so you're talking, Kelly, and I'm listening in, very closely to you, and I'm staring up at the TV screens in the studio here, and they've got, coronavirus up there, and they've got this red thing that symbolizes what the virus looks like, and it's got all these tentacles coming out, and it just looks terrifying. And then I'm thinking to myself, is it better for people to be watching the news and seeing this thing popping up there? Or perhaps they should just, Netflix and chill and be responsible, because they've got all the information that they really need at this point, and maybe just watching more and more of it's perhaps not good for the mental health.
Oh, certainly. I mean, I think that we are oversaturated with media, and there is so much being reported, and you can log into your email or news blurbs or TV. And so if we're not mindful and choosy about how much time we're spending, we can start getting in a bad mood. I mean, I even find myself, like, I've tried to structure, check in the morning, check once in the afternoon, and then once again at night. And I find just I'm more irritable at night after I've kind of heard more and more cases being reported. And, you know, just trying to trust the process and know I'm doing whatever I can in my control to help the situation, and just really leaning on community.
Yeah, so... And by the way, we want you to watch WGN TV, and we want you to listen to WGN Radio, and you can listen all day, and that'd be great. But we also want you to be healthy and well out there, so you can do that for many, 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 many years to come. So,
of course, preserve that watching and listening time.
Do what is best for you to navigate this. What are you telling? I think one of the scary things about this right now is for people who have old parents, and they're used to going and seeing them, right? And they feel like, well, with the coronavirus, you don't know if you have it or don't have it, so you can't really see mom and dad or grandpa and grandma. At least maybe you can stand outside, but that's not the same. So what are you telling people as far as like their parental concerns here?
Oh, gosh. Well, you know, we're about the same age, Mark, and there are, I think, the older generation, I've been noticing, has been a little more stubborn about this. And I'm encouraging people of our generation to FaceTime grandparents so kids can see them and get creative, send a letter in the mail or drive by. You know, I had somebody drive by my house the other day and stood in the street and we had a conversation. Being able to do those things and still stay connected, just not the way we're used to, can be hard, but it's so important that we listen to what we are being advised.
And you've got young kids, Kelly, or at least not totally grown and out on their own. So as far as what questions are you getting from the, you know, I forget the reins that you have, but I know you've got some young ones over there, and I'm sure they're scared too.
You know, they're handling it a lot better than I would have thought. They range in age from 7 to 13. And they're all, my middle schoolers are at home doing e-learning. I mean, they're doing like 6 hours a day. They're on spring break now, but whatever that means. But they're, you know, we have family meetings every couple of days just to check in and see how people are doing and give them the opportunity to ask us questions. But, you know, they're more concerned about the things like a couple of their birthdays fall in April, and are we going to miss that? Or, you know, they've heard rumors from friends that they're not going back to school for the remainder of the year. And we just keep reinforcing, we don't know that. We're taking it a day at a time. We'll revisit that. But yeah, they're rule followers. I can't believe they're my children, but so far so good. But keeping the dialogue open, and kids are going to look to their parents of how to react. And so if we're, you know, wrapped up in conspiracy theory or panicking, they're going to follow suit. So it's important, you know, that if you have to melt down, go to your room and do that by all means. But try to put on a brave face, but also recognize that, you know, you're human too, and it's important to be authentic with your kids.
For the record, and Kelly Kidley joining us, Serendipitous Psychotherapy on 720 WGN. My name is Mark Harmon, and Mark Harmon at 10 years old would not be complaining about not going to school, but I would be I would be freaking out. Hey, what about camp? Camp better be on.
What did you say? Basketball. I've got a 9-year-old who plays 6 hours of basketball a day. He's going out of his mind.
Right? School's one thing, but the hoop game, yeah, and I can't compete against my friends, and we can't play 3-on-3 in the backyard or at the park or wherever. Now we're getting the tough part here. Come on.
Yeah. Nerf ball basketball in his bedroom, which, you know, the walls are starting to fall down.
That's where elite parenting comes in. If you allow your kid to play an aggressive game of Nerf basketball in his room and rough up the entire house so you can't do anything but notice him, that's a great mom. I hope you're doing that, Kelly. I know you are, Kelly.
Thank you. Thanks. I play a couple pickup games with him every once in a while. We've got to laugh about this because otherwise we will remain in panic and, you know, trying to find the silver lining of some of this stuff. And that comes from looking at gratitude or focusing on being healthy or, you know, there's a lot of different situations out there. But for right now, I'm happy to say I can say I am healthy, my family's healthy, and we're doing our best to try to keep everybody else healthy.
And are you seeing patients in person, clients in person?
No, you know what? I just moved to teleconferencing on Friday. So I'm still doing phone sessions. I've set up an office in my basement, and it's not the same as in person, but some people I'm doing FaceTime or Skype with, and some people I'm just doing old-fashioned phone calls with. But I find that it's helping, yeah. You know, at least they're reporting. So I think anytime we can connect with other people and talk about our feelings, it's progress.
Yeah, I got it. All right, Kelly, thank you so much. Okay.
Awesome. Thanks, Mark. I'm giving you a virtual hug. Miss you.
Awesome to talk to you. Thanks so much. Virtual hug
you
back.
Too.
Kelly Kittley,
all
Serendipis
right.
Psychotherapy on 720 WGN. So many layers to this, right? The kids, your parents, your friends, work. We're going to do the work from home stuff coming up here in the 8 o'clock hour. Paul Ecker is going to be with us at 8:30. And the hotel industry, of course, is being challenged. We'll have Robbie Baum's going to be on at 8:15 tonight. As there is, if you did not know, there are multiple hostels in Chicago. And so he had clients coming in from all across the world, and they're not coming right now. So how do you stay in business? Well, right now, they can't do it. So that's a local business that is scuffling, but also has a very positive attitude on the future. So Robbie will be coming up as well. 312-981-7200. My name is Mark Harmon. Ton of texts coming in tonight. I really appreciate it, guys. Thank you so much for listening to the show. And I'll try to get to some of them as we go along here. But we'll get a check of news coming up here in 2 minutes and 30 seconds. Oh, I don't have to go to break. Okay, never mind. I'm sorry. I will stay right here with you. So one thing that I did see today that I kind of chuckled. This was a post from one of my friends. Well, I finally lost it. It was just in Walgreens. Saw a guy whose cart was full to the brim with hand sanitizers, baby wipes, soaps, everything that people need. And so this friend of mine goes nuts. I called him selfish and gave him the lowdown about the elderly and about moms and people who need these things. And this friend of mine is screaming at this person in Walgreens, "You should be ashamed of yourself." And then the response was, "Ma'am, are you done? Because I really could use to get back to work and restock the shelves right now." So I'm assuming that this is a true story that actually happened, where somebody stepped up, and we're all not supporting our hoarders out there, right? Take what you need. That's great. Get yourself your wipes. Get yourself your toilet paper. Get yourself your milk. Get yourself your whatever you want. Whatever you're cooking, chickens, beef, veggies, get what you need. But they're not closing down the grocery stores, and Walgreens is staying open. And I know you're scared, at least I am, to it's frightening to go out and to go in a store and how many people are there but you just got to be, that doesn't mean we go out one time and take everything off the shelves and or go onto your account online on Amazon and start making big bucks on all the hand sanitizers, which some have done. I partly give you credit for seeing the future and being your future, I guess, and making a bunch of dough, which is part of capitalism in the American way, but there's also something that feels really, really off about that one, right? You did what? Oh, you went to Costco and you took every single sanitizer you could, and then you put them on Amazon so you could get rich. Yeah, I don't know. That just feels all sorts of wrong. But not surprising, people will, and when there's a way to make a buck, someone's going to figure out how to do it. All right, news coming up right now. 807-720-WGN. Mark Harmon with you till 9 o'clock tonight. Busy hour of radio coming at you. My friend Robbie Baum, who's a local business owner, will be with us at 8:15. Paul Ecker, who's an expert on working from home, will be with us at 8:30. Right now, I just want to update you on the news tonight. So the massive stimulus package was voted on tonight, and the way they're writing it is that Senate Democrats blocked the movement. So you've got Democrats apparently registering their frustration by lining up against a key procedural vote to advance the package. The vote was tied at 47-47. The vote was supposed to go at 3 o'clock Eastern. It went at 6. And apparently, as they're writing it, the Democrats dug in against it and to allow for more time for negotiations. Final bipartisan deal to respond to the toll of the spread of the coronavirus to this point has not yet been reached. So the problem right now, apparently, is that the Democrats are arguing that Republicans are prioritizing the corporate industry over American workers in the legislation. Now, there's been a lot of teamwork going on in Washington lately that we haven't exactly seen over many, many years now. So I would assume that they will work this out, because it's, and how much is it going to be, right? And I'm not an economist. So do we need $1 trillion, $2 trillion, $5 trillion? I don't know. But if people, you know, some economists are predicting unemployment at 30%. So if that, I mean, think about how many people right there are going to, A, need unemployment, and businesses are going to need help. And I don't think it's going to be a one-check thing, right? So this is where the very smart people of the world have to figure out the finances on what they can loan out and what can come back and how do you move forward, and what's the best way to do it. So we got to hope that they'll figure out the best way here. But I can't, again, imagine like, hey, one check, you're, everybody's going to get, if you make less than $75,000, you're all going to get a grand, and that's going to do it. Hard to believe that'll be the case. And people are in all sorts of different scenarios out there. I mean, part of what I do, like, as you know, I work here at WGN. I'm a part-time guy, and I have my full-time job, and I'm also Carm the slumlord. So I have some tenants, and I've already got people moving out. They're going back home to live with mom and dad, because you know they're students and they have a very limited income, and the extra money that they're making, bartending, being an Uber driver, it's not going to be there. So how do they pay? And then for somebody in that situation, well, you know, who exactly is coming in to move in? You know, right now, right? I assume that maybe there's people out there that are looking to change locations, but I it ain't like normal, right? Ben, you look like you want to say something. Go ahead, man. What do you got?
No, I just don't see this a real big real estate, push.
Right, exactly. And, you know, I think they're doing everything they can. I printed out, one story tonight that they're talking about a year-long break on mortgage payments. Year-long. So homeowners have lost income on their jobs because of the coronavirus outbreak. They're getting some relief. Depending on the situation, they should be eligible to have mortgage payments reduced or suspended for up to 12 months. And it makes a lot of sense, right? What are you going to do? You don't want a ton of foreclosed properties out there. So kicking the can down the road for a year, we get everything under control, the payments start coming back in, that's probably the best play, and it takes care of homeowners. But it's a lot of dough, and so it's just a challenging, it's a scary time. I'm wondering how, as we have a couple minutes here, 312-981-7200, you know, what particular challenges are people running up against right now? And I'd love to hear, you know, give you a forum just to get it out there, and maybe there's opportunities for where the WGN community can help. I mean, I think people might start considering taking jobs that you were going to need, but it's scary to do them. Do you want to go be a delivery driver right now? That's a challenge, right? A, you're not going to get rich doing it, but you make some money, hopefully. But you're putting yourself at risk. It's scary.
Yeah, what I'm curious to see about Carm is, you know, with everything that's happening as far as everybody going to multimedia, you know, like sharing stuff via social networking and doing these parties and all that stuff, I kind of wonder if jobs are going to start heading a little bit more that route as well, and if new jobs and careers are going to open up because of this style of communicating.
Well, and that's the thing, right? We are nothing but creative. I really hope that all sorts of new stuff pops up where we realize that there's a need here now. Let's, and people are smart, right? Always diving into opportunities. How can I make a buck? And how can I also, you know, in this time, perhaps help as well? And hey, if you've got an idea right now where you think that this is a need, I would support you 1,000% to get on in there. Let me get Joe on the Northwest side as a delivery driver calling in. Joe, welcome to WGN. Thanks for taking a second for us, all right?
Thank you for mentioning us and that we are a little quite concerned about it, the risk we're taking doing this. So it was a winter job because I'm seasonal. I work on boats. And now that job's gone, so it's now the only job. And I will say, people are giving much bigger tips. The average is usually around 3 or 4. Now, we're getting some $10 ones, so people are paying attention, realizing that we're doing this and rewarding us for it, thankfully. And hopefully that continues.
How do you go about a drop-off right now, Joe? How does that work so you actually get that tip? Are they tipping you on via Venmo? Or I'm assuming you're not exchanging cash at the door, or maybe you are. Tell me how it goes.
Sometimes we are. For one, I'm wearing gloves, rubber gloves. But sometimes it's not a credit card. You generally have to sign for it, but we're waiving that. If they want me to leave it at the door and call them, I will do that. And then they tell me if they want to tip me or not. They're right on there. I've got a few cash. Grubhub is, that's all prepaid, so you can drop it at the door. There have been more and more where they just want you to drop it at the door and then call them.
Yeah, yeah. How old a guy are you, Joe?
55.
And so you're delivering from multiple places right now?
No. This one.
So who are you delivering
pizza.
For?
Give him a plug. Pete's Pizza.
There we go. Pete's Pizza. Delicious. Always consistent. Well, stay safe, Joe, and appreciate what you're doing, okay? People don't want to go out, and you're bringing them their food. It's very much needed and appreciated, so thanks for checking in.
It gets me out of the house.
That too. It gets you out of the house. Take some more calls on your particular challenges right now. And I see somebody who's from a U.S. who's a U.S. bank customer who's talking about some loan that they got that helped them. We can talk about that coming on back here. And I'll get my guy Robbie Baum up as well. 720 WGN. 817, 720 WGN. Mark Harmon with you till 9 o'clock tonight. Thanks for joining the show. Appreciate you being here with me tonight. Text line, I'm a part-time server and full-time caregiver to my 87-year-old grandma. So I can't go by the people and then go out and take care of my grandma. Not sure what to do. That's an incredibly difficult decision right there, right? You need dough to live. Maybe you say to your 87-year-old grandma, Grandma, I love you. I want to take care of you, but it's going to cost you. Got to get a little more dollars up front. Maybe she'd be willing to do that. I don't know. That is not an easy situation at all. But yeah, keeping your grandma safe, I think, is the number one priority out of all of that, no matter what decision you make. So if you're going to work, then I guess you don't get to see grandma, but versus maybe you're not going to work and you're just hanging out at home and doing your best to take care of her. I had an $8,000 item dropped off at my door with FedEx. The delivery driver didn't even knock. Well, I got to tell you, if I was delivering for FedEx, I don't think I'd knock either. It's there. No one's walking away from it. Who's walking around now anyway? Before I get to Robbie Baum, who's a hotel owner in town, multiple properties, and is having his own challenges and making an aggressive play. Let me just get Jefferson on the northwest side here. Jefferson, you're a U.S. bank customer, it says here. What's up, Jefferson?
Hi, Mark. Thanks for working, and thanks for your staff for working. Yeah, I went into I've been a U.S. bank. Well, I'm a former employee of U.S. Bank, legacy speaking, but I'm a current customer, and I went in just to the branch in Lincolnwood yesterday, and my banker stopped me. He's like, hey, we got this special going on. It was it's a $4,999 loan. I think it's 4 years with a 1 year prepayment penalty, and the interest rate was 4.9 and then 2.99 if you did auto pay. So I don't think the loan was exclusive to me by any means, but it's a fairly large bank, and if a number of your listeners also bank there, maybe they could take advantage of that. And I also got an email from Gordon Food Service that they are hiring urgently in their retail shops. So, I know that the hospitality workers probably don't want to do some of these types of jobs, but as strange as it is, you know, there are going to be opportunities for people who want to make concessions, right? And that's unfortunate, has to do with safety, but, you know, there are going to be some people who are going to be busy.
Yeah, not easy decisions to make, but you got to put food on the table, right? So I'm assuming people are going to, or at least some people will choose to take the risk and do a job that normally they wouldn't do, and hopefully, you know, cross their fingers that they'll be okay and be as smart as they can while they're doing the gig. So you're saying a $5,000 loan, just under $5,000 for if you're doing auto pay at 3%, what would that normally be, Jefferson, as you worked in the banking industry? What would that normally, what would be the normal rate that you'd be paying on that?
I've seen, I mean, you know, that the whole fintech world has really given the bank some competition. I mean, there's folks out there like Avant or Prosper or Discover Loans. You can get probably, depending on your credit, of course, anywhere from, 8 to 20%. But I think that even 499 for $5,000 is good. I mean, I'm not in the banking business anymore, but, you know, I just wanted to look. I was out of work for 6 months in 2018, and I was washing dishes at a country club, right? And I got a master's degree. So, you know, again, people are going to have to make some concessions. It's not going to be the easiest thing for them, but I just wanted to call and take a break while I'm ironing my shirts and share with your listeners of a couple things that have come my way.
Yeah, Jefferson, I really appreciate you calling, and thank you for taking the break in the middle of ironing. And the part that you talked about, the dishwasher in Jefferson, thanks for the call. No, there should never be any shame from anyone in any job that they do. You're going out there, you're making an honest living, trying to put food on the table for yourself, for your kids, for your family. Lawyer, doctor, dishwasher, I respect it all. And that is a tough gig. And to humble yourself and take that just because, hey, this is what's available for me right now, and I'm going to obviously try to move forward from there. That's props to you, Jefferson. My friend Robbie Baum on the line here, who is a hotel owner of multiple properties, including Holiday Jones and Fieldhouse Jones, joins us now. Robbie, good evening. Welcome to WGN. Thanks for taking time, sir.
Thanks, Carm. How you doing?
I'm doing great. Doing great, hanging in there. How are you? You've been on the cutting edge, Robbie Baum, bringing in hostels to Chicago and transforming them into like these coffee shops and high-end hotels, but your clients are mostly coming from overseas, and obviously they're not coming here right now.
No, I mean, no one's coming here, but especially people from other countries, obviously, right? And so the crazy part is, like, we, you know, over the last, like, 3 or 4 weeks, we still had occupancy, but we were starting to see more people canceling, more cancellations than new reservations coming in. And so we get, let's say, half of our reservations from places like Expedia or Orbitz and Booking.com and those sort of places. And typically, if someone who books through them wants to cancel, they go through them. And then, you know, those OTAs, as they call, notify us. But they've been so busy, those places, those OTAs, that they haven't been able to notify us. So when we started just contacting all of the guests, wanting to make sure if people were coming or not coming, it turned out that literally nobody was coming. That we had some nights in the last, like, 2 weeks that we had two people there or one person there, or nobody's staying there at all. And so they actually have ruled that hotels are part of, like, the essential types of businesses for the city. But I think you'll notice pretty much every hotel has closed down. And if they haven't, some of the big ones maybe just have a staff of one or two working there at all. So it's, you know, you worry about the safety of your staff and your team. And you just there's no one coming, so it's really not worth it to be out there, right, and to be fighting against it right now. It's obviously unprecedented, but it's crazy.
Yeah, right. It's something that you could never ever plan for when you're going into business for yourself. And I've got an idea, and this is going to work. And you guys, how long you've been in business now in Chicago for? How long, Robbie?
8 years.
So for 8 years, and sort of. I mean, I just thought it was a super cool concept that you were bringing here that normally is, you know, sort of more European, but you brought it to Chicago. And what percentage of your clients were from the U.S. versus from overseas?
When we first started 8 years ago, 99% of our guests were from overseas. But as time has gone and Airbnb has become more part of the vernacular, I would say we're probably 30% international travelers, which is major. But in the wintertime, we had, you know, quite a few international travelers. Like, that was a big segment of our market. There were a lot of international students who wouldn't go home for winter break, and so they would stay with us. And so it's just, it's, you know, we really were like a meeting place for not only the community, but just people coming from all different parts of the world. And it's interesting that just really what we preached all the time as far as beating, you know, Fieldhouse Jones, like the etymology of that was, we, every park in town, or so many of the parks, had field houses, and those were galvanizing, you know, neighborhood forces, right, where people would come to play cards or vote or have civic meetings and eat and all that sort of stuff. And that's exactly the opposite of what we're all trying to do right now, right? So, you know, getting together, right? We're all finding our ways to, like, stay apart, but still, you know, still stay in touch. So it really runs counter to everything we've been trying to do over the last, you know, almost decade.
What kind of relief, I know you're, I'm sure you're reaching out for some financial assistance here. What kind of relief are you seeing is available to you?
Well, so there are, you know, we're starting to talk to our lenders, right? I heard you, I was listening to your segment before, and you were talking about how banks are offering people, or they should offer people, some different opportunities. We're talking to our banks. They obviously understand, you know, what the scenario is here, but this is, you know, unprecedented as far as that. And there's SBA loans that are out there. We've actually tried to get through on Friday when the governor, who we think is doing an awesome job, put the word out there that Illinois was included in these economic injury loans. And so we'll be applying for those. Because insurance doesn't cover any of this, right? There's other injuries. If you're hit by a storm or something, right, that your insurance covers, but it doesn't cover these pandemic stuff. And so this is where SBA has to stand up. And I know that Chicago also, I heard the mayor, Mayor Lightfoot, talking last week too, that they're having a fund, I think $100 million fund to help, you know, to help smaller businesses, you know, in the city. But Go ahead.
No, I shouldn't have cut you off, Rod, but I'm just saying it's in the city's best interest to have functioning hotels. We want people coming to visit here. It's a big part of our economy.
Yeah, it's not only hotels. It's like the coffee shops and restaurants. Like, we have a coffee shop. We have an empanada shop in one of our places and a coffee shop on Chestnut called Drop Shot. And we had that open through today, but you could only do takeout service. And it was hard for our employees. It was just hard to keep it running. I mean, I think most people have made that determination that you lose less money being closed right now than you do being open necessarily. And I guess one of the interesting parts is that a lot of it is the timing of the year that this happens, because obviously in the hospitality industry, hotels, restaurants alike, January and February stink, right? Like, there's like the worst time you could have. And so everybody's, you know, pretty much gearing up for March, April, May, the spring, when it, you know, starts, you know, the good times start to come to roost. So it really just hit everybody at the worst cash flow time possible, right? Because when you do your pro forma for the year, you know January and February are not going to be good, but you start to sort of see a light at the end of the tunnel in March, and then April, May, and things really start to roll from there. So, you know, the thing is, had this happened in, you know, August or September or something like that, I think you might have seen a little bit longer wick, I think, in the way that people who own these small businesses have to respond, because I think there would have been a little bit more money in the coffers at that point. But it's just a terribly stressful time of the year regardless, you know, without this happening.
Yeah, I got like 30 seconds here, but I know you had to furlough some employees. What, you know, just a heart-wrenching thing, right?
It's the worst thing. It's awful. It's really awful. And so I don't know what to say. We keep in touch, trying to find other opportunities, but it's, you know, I have a friend, Tony, who has actually a contract to help procure housekeeping jobs at Northwestern Hospital right now. But it's just, it's an opportunity for people, right? But it's scary for our people to want to go and work there. But I do think it's a pretty noble thing to go up there and work. So if you do have any people who are looking for jobs, I can get you the information. There's at least 30 housekeeping jobs that are available right now, right? That could be, it could be a noble cause, but also they're paying pretty well as well. But as far as like our staff is concerned, it's really hard. I don't know what to say, but hopefully things turn around and, you know, quicker than a lot of people are thinking, and we can bring people back in.
Yeah, Robbie, appreciate it. Robbie Baum, CEO, Holiday Jones, Urban Holiday, a bunch of properties in Chicago, joining us here. Fieldhouse Jones as well. Robbie, thanks, man. Yeah. Appreciate you.
Hey, thanks. Thanks. I'll catch you. Talk to you soon.
Yeah, absolutely. Robbie Baumann, 720 WGN. Working at home, how to do that the best way possible. We'll do that right after 830, 720 WGN. 832, 720 WGN. A lot of you, I would say most of you, maybe 99% of you, are working from home. So why not have a work from home expert on? And Paul Ecker is the CEO and president of the Viya Group, and he knows how to do this. Paul, I am finding myself incredibly distracted, so I need your help here, my friend. Thank you for taking some time tonight on 720 WGN.
Oh, it's my pleasure, Mark. You're having a great show tonight, too. I've been able to listen in on and off, and it's a real service you're providing by giving people a channel to talk about these things tonight.
Oh, thank you, Paul. I appreciate that. It's certainly my pleasure slash honor to be here. So tell me, what's the Viya Group here, Paul? Who are you guys?
Okay, all right. We are a firm that's dedicated to the development of leaders at all levels within organizations. So we help companies identify people with high potential. We help them nurture that potential all the way up to helping people at the C level and coaching executives and CEOs on how to be their best self during that work week. We're located in the Naperville area, so we're in the western suburbs, and we have a blast. We get to work with a lot of great clients, like locally Fortune brands, Beam Suntory, Northwestern Mutual, and unfortunately, we've got clients really hit in New York with Citibank, and in San Francisco, Gilead Sciences. So all of them are going through amazing challenges right now as they've all moved to work from home these last few weeks.
So what are you telling your upper management types who are trying to help people be as effective as they can from home? And then what's your advice to those of us like myself who are not in upper management, Paul, who are trying to remain focused and also watch press conferences and keep up to date on the news? And a lot of times if you're working from home, there are other people in the home as well who might want to, connect in too. And there's a lot going on in that space right now.
Yeah, totally agree, Mark. And this is more than just a work from home situation because of what you just said. It's work with home from home with extra distractions. A lot of my clients are telling me that, I've been working from home for years, but not with my significant other also working from home, not with the three children running around the house wondering why they can't go outside or play with their friends. This is kind of unprecedented time. So for the senior leaders, what I'm hearing from them and what we're telling them is to time like this, there's the three C's. Senior leaders, you got to keep it simple. It's communicate, clarity, and compassion. So let me break those down a little bit for you. Anybody that's in a position where they're managing others at this time, really focus on over-communicating. It's important to keep team members informed. It's important to use things like video conferencing as much as possible so your teams feel connected. Communication also means taking the time to listen to your people. They've got concerns. This is real. They got needs. And sometimes all they need is a soft place to land and someone that's willing to listen to them. So with Communicate, it's just promote an environment which team members are trying to recreate team meetings, making it feel real, recreating fun activities. Had a client tell me last week that they've done some really innovative stuff around virtual coffee breaks, kind of virtual water cooler talk. All the way to, if they've had a good week, what the heck, a virtual cocktail hour, just to make sure people continue to bond, interact, and occasionally infuse some laughter in all of this.
Well, see, that's the key, right? I mean, we all want to be productive and do good work, but we also, I don't know, there's got to be some levity going on, too, with everything that's out there. Right?
Right.
I mean, I think it's just very challenging just to put the head down and I'm going to be as productive as I once was. Although, one of the things I'm understanding out there, Paul, is that for salespeople right now, they're making calls, they're doing their dials, and more people are picking up because they're actually looking for connections. So they're all at home, right?
Yes. Actually, we've noticed that, too, in our coaching practice, that oftentimes coaching sessions get canceled because the executive or director is on an airplane unexpectedly. Can't do it from there. But now, yes, more people are actually home-based, and you can reach them. And oftentimes, I think it's a good time to reach out to some of your colleagues, clients, whatever it might be, because you have a better chance of getting them. But as a leader, if you can get that sense of community going, I mean, even at VIA, we've instilled a 15-minute huddle every day. It might sound corny, but it's just an opportunity for everyone in the company to dial in or get on video conference. We give updates on what's happening. Things are real fluid. Try and share a laugh and get that sense of community so that people don't start feeling like they're just isolated. So that's communicate. Second one is kind of a big one, clarity. In times like this, people need work as a way of really feeling a sense of control and accomplishment. Mark, one of the things we're seeing is that in these times, people feel like they have no control. Everything is just happening around them and to them. Work can actually be part of the therapy. It's a way to give people a sense of control and a sense of accomplishment. And what leaders need to do is really be very clear and short-term in goal setting. Think about it this way. If you go into a week and you know you have three big things to accomplish, Mark, and you're clear on what needs to be done, you can put your head down and do them. Now, I got to make sure you take enough breaks so that you don't drive yourself silly, but you'll be able to get to them, and you'll have that sense of accomplishment at the end of that week.
So what we've seen, go ahead. Yeah, no, I'm just saying, so what you're saying, Paul, is that like all that would apply in a normal work environment, but in a work-from-home situation, it's even more important to have some direct goals in front of you, so it, yeah. A, keeps you dialed in and in focus, if you will, and also it gives you that feeling of accomplishment that people are just looking for, that level of security that they don't have right now, and in who right. knows what's coming next, and we're all fingers crossed that this is going to be something that's going to be handled, and we're going to get a vaccine, and our social distance is going to have a huge impact, and life can go back to normal. But the reality is we just don't know.
Right.
At least
and
when.
That's why it's so important to give people autonomy to get things done. And using a kind of a sports analogy,
please.
Kind of come up with that sprint mentality. this is, you're better off doing it in short-term sprints, get things done, move on to the next week, because we don't know how many weeks this is going to go on. And the last piece, just quickly, is compassion. You got to lead with the heart. This is an opportunity for leaders, managers to really show themselves, be accessible, listen to your people. Many of them aren't experienced at working from home. They might be freaking out. They may have three children tugging at their leg as they're trying to get a report done or something along that line. Best thing you can do as a leader in these times, be steady, empathetic. Don't get too high. Don't get too low. Take time to check in. Make that extra call to see, does somebody have the equipment they need? How are they feeling? And be a safe place to land. So that's what we're telling people at the top of the house as far as what needs to be done in these times.
Yeah, Paul Ecker with us here, president, CEO, co-founder of VIA Group, as we're trying to figure out the best practices for working from home. Last one here, Paul. Biggest mistake that you see the companies are making?
Well, there's a handful to pick from on that one. One is some companies just haven't set their people up to work effectively from home. They don't have the equipment or tools to get it done. Other things I'm seeing some of the leaders do is they're leaving their team members more on an island. Probably the biggest piece that I would warn against is treating it as business as usual. Some companies struggle because this is such a monumental moment that they just try and ignore. And the employees are just way too smart. They absolutely know that there's a crisis going on. Be real with it. Have the conversation. Create the opportunities to have those conversations.
Yeah. This is definitely not business as usual in many, many, many ways. Paul, great stuff. Appreciate your time. And let's get this work from home thing down here, because we know we're all capable to do it here, Paul, at the end of the day, right? It's just a little bit of an adjustment, or a major adjustment for all of us. But I think that, I believe in people. I believe in our ability to adjust, and we're doing it on the fly. And I would say we're doing incredibly well so far. And there's more, I guess, too.
Yeah. I've absolutely been proud of the clients. And you're right. 30 years ago, this would have been a lot harder. People weren't working from home. Now most people, a lot of people, have at least had an opportunity in certain moments to work at home and get some practice with it. But it is tough. If this is your first time doing it, it starts tomorrow. There's a number of things that you can do. And actually, we'll post that on our website. We'll have it up no later than noon tomorrow. Just tips for the first-time person working from home. things that they want to do, simple things like remember to get up and dress like you normally would instead of trying to work in your pajamas all day, and a number of other good tips like that. And that can be found just at viapath.com. Anybody interested? viapath.com. But Mark, thank you so much, and you are doing such a great thing this evening. Thank you for allowing me to share some of our best practices.
Paul, appreciate you being on. Have a great night, okay?
Take care.
Paul,
thank you.
Paul via viapath.com. Best work from, best practices from home. A lot of people like working from home. Not in the office, don't have the distractions of people walking around and walking into your office or the million things that can go on. However, this one is a little different, right? And some people, it's not just the kids are at home. Kids come in all different shapes and sizes and challenges, right? There could be a lot heavier lifts out there for some people. Ben, you're nodding your head. What do you got?
When I called to check in on my parents today, my dad informed me he was doing the cooking because my mom was engaged with a Hallmark, you know, channel Christmas movie.
Oh, that's beautiful. That's great level support there in the Anderson household. I like that.
Yeah.
Sometimes you got to step in and do the cooking. I do it all, for the record. I will step in and make a great cheese, onion, eggy omelet, and then I'll segue over to the old dishes and knock those out. I like to do the dishes myself. Even when we have the dishwasher, I prefer just to do it by hand. It's like a cathartic for me. I'm the same way. It just feels like everything's more right in the world. I'll flip on over to the laundry. Let's go. Let me fold some stuff up here. Let's keep the house clean now. I mean, the bathroom seems like that's not a place that I'm really dying to get after. But in these circumstances, as my beautiful bride Chelsea knows, I'm willing to help on all fronts here. But it's true, like, a little interchangeable. I'm doing this now, you can do that. Although some people, I think, like to have a certain level of control on the whole operation, and nothing's going to change in these times whatsoever. I do this, get out of there, that's how it's going to be. Don't think that anything is changing just because the coronavirus is going on right now. How to have some fun at home, we'll do that to wrap up the show. 720 WGN. 846, 720 WGN. Mark Carmen with you till the top of the hour. Thanks for being a part of the show tonight, putting WGN on. And, of course, Rick Kogan warming up in the bullpen, looking ready to dominate in about 14 minutes. My friend Molly Barron's on the line. She's a hardworking. She goes, hello, Molly. How are you?
I'm doing great. How are you?
Well, I'm great. I'm following along on my social media, and I noticed you on Facebook, Molly, that as a single woman and alone in her apartment, you were worried that you were going to be alone here. But you've created all these parties, so I want you to encourage people out there, the singletons, on how to handle this, because I think you've got a great plan going on over there.
Oh, well, thanks, Mark. You know, for me, I think the core of it was just realizing that if I'm going to be physically by myself, that I did not want to be socially isolated. So when I started working from home, which for me was a week ago Friday, I actually set myself a goal of connecting with at least three people every day. So my first recommendation is really just to call people, like anybody, you know, call that friend who you've been meaning to call but maybe haven't, call your best friend, call your mom, call your dad, call your aunt who you haven't talked to in 2 years. But really, what I'm finding is no matter who it is that I call, people are really happy to hear from me. And just making the attempt to make a connection is just so well received right now at all times. If you want to do something with more than just one person, I think a little bit of planning goes a long way. One thing I did at work was I used our video conferencing system to set up a social hour. So on Tuesdays from 5 to 6, everyone in my team dials in, pours themselves their favorite adult beverage, and basically we hang out just like we would if we were together. And the fun part about that is people's kids are sometimes popping into the frame. We've got one guy on my team who has a pair of twins, and it was their dinner time, so he just added them to the video conference, and we got to talk to them, and it was just real sweet. The most, like, I think, extraordinary thing I did thus far was I attended a virtual dance party,
wow,
which was hosted by a DJ who had a streaming Zoom playlist, And then there were like 100 people from all over the country. I knew one person who had invited me to it. And then we were all just dancing. I mean, it was 100 single people alone in their apartments dancing to this one song.
What were they playing?
They played all kinds of stuff. They played Shake It Off by Taylor Swift. They played I Want to Dance with Somebody. They played some Janelle Monáe. I mean, it was stuff I knew and stuff I didn't know. Yeah. And it was just all high energy, real fun.
You got that Whitney Houston going. I mean, that's a big time. Heck yeah. That's awesome.
That is a crowd pleaser for sure.
So, by the way, this is a business out there for someone, right?
Oh, yeah.
I'm doing
absolutely.
See, we got to get creative here. People are going to have to find some other methods. The virtual dance party guy. Maybe if you're a technology person, I hate to give the ideas out to everybody here, but that's the whole point of this radio station. We're a community radio station. There it is. I mean, so, I'd pay $5 if I was single to go into some virtual dance party with all these fun people. And absolutely. You get like 3 minutes of connection with, let's throw some speed dating in there. And next thing you know, you're married with kids off a virtual dance party during the coronavirus. You never know what happens in life.
Now, I will say, Mark, I have some thoughts about dating during this time.
Okay.
First of all, I think everybody who's single should be doing it. You can download whatever online app. It all starts there anyway these days. So there's like practically no difference between starting a date with somebody now as there would be when we were, you know, free to move around the state. Secondly, I think that video first dates can be the new big thing. If you think about it, we're all at home. And usually you have to wait like a while before you see somebody's house for the first time. You are getting some great data about this person right off the bat. You know, like if they've got dirty dishes piled to the ceiling, you're going to see that right away and get the hell out of there.
You might like a guy who's got some dirty dishes who's just chilling out in his place. It's to each his own, Miss Molly.
Yeah.
Let's not forget that.
You're right. You're right. Absolutely.
I want to defend my dudes out there who've got their dirty dishes.
Yeah. You know, so like whatever you're into, if you see it there, like great. You'll know to stick around or not. And I was also thinking about food. You know, there's no reason that you couldn't both order from the same restaurant, get delivery, and then you can like talk about how your food is just like you would if you were both there at the restaurant. And you know, if one person's feeling particularly generous, you could actually order delivery for the other person and have it sent to them.
So you had me excited about this dating from home thing, because the dude then gets out to take you to dinner, doesn't even have to buy you but now you're luffing the ante. Well, if you're gonna do it, I probably should order you your food off of Uber Eats. That'd be the classy thing to do. But I don't think you even have to worry about the food and or drink. Like, that's on your own. We're just meeting.
Yeah.
We're hanging out. No need for a meal. 20 minutes on Zoom. Maybe, you know, let's go for a half an hour. Let's book it in the calendar, and then we'll decide if we want to meet. That's way better than a phone call.
Absolutely.
I
love it. If it's 20 minutes, you can book a couple in a row. So you can, like, really get, you know, very efficient here.
If Bella Gandhi's listening right now, she might be getting jealous of this, our resident dating expert on WGN. This is good stuff right here.
Well, yes.
Good job being creative, Molly Baron. You're rolling with the times, superstar single person in Chicago. Good work over there. All right.
Thank you so much, Mark. So much fun to be with you. Yeah,
that was awesome to have you on. So there we go. There's my friend Molly, who's like doing all sorts of things over there. The virtual dance party with 100 people across the world. Like, how cool is that? And I know that. Dean this morning had on the two people that came up with singing Bon Jovi, right? How nuts is that? We had all across the world, we were singing Living on a Prayer. It's one of the cooler things. And next week, if people aren't following that story, let me pull that up so I give you the accurate information here. Next week, next Saturday, they're going to be singing the Jackson 5. So you can hang out outside your window and sing a song, and hopefully a bunch of people in your neighborhood will be doing the same thing, and it'll be a moment of solidarity, which was inspired, of course, by what's going on in Italy. And prayers up for all our people all across the world, and a special shout out to the Italians right now who are having a particularly tough time. And I've talked about this literally every show that I've been on. Seeing everybody come out on their balconies and singing. I think they were singing Kenny Rogers the other day. R.I.P. to Kenny, one of the all-time greats. No wonder. I woke up this morning and I'm, for some reason, you know, I was just thinking about Kenny, and I started just reading the lyrics to The Gambler, and I'm in bed at 8:15 reading about The Gambler, and I'm like, I was feeling all the feelings for Kenny. Like, this is a great tune, man. No one to hold him, no one to fool him. Come on, man. That's just beautiful stuff. And basically, anyway, getting back to the Italy thing, I'm all over the map right now. Just many thoughts running through my head here. But it's beautiful. You're stuck in your house, and you're going to open up the window, and you're going to climb out, and you're going to see your neighbor across the way, and we're all going to sing a song. And we're all, you know, in a crazy, crazy time. But, hey, music heals the soul. It's beautiful stuff. Come back and wrap up the show next. We're rolling to the top of the order. My bad. I'm looking at the spots here, not understanding what's going on. That's my bad. So, hey, we're going into a week here. I'm rarely, you know, I'm never on this time slot. Karen Conti is off tonight, and she'll be back next Sunday night. So it's a treat to be in her. Yes, Ben? Oh, thank you, Ben. I appreciate that. So it's a treat to be on with you, and it's weird, right? We're starting a new week tomorrow. I don't know how last week went for everybody, but it seemed like forever to me. And I also feel super busy, and the days go by quick. But like the day goes by quick. Like I get to 5 o'clock, it's like, wow, I could have gotten more done. But then at the same time, I must feel like, wow, it's only Monday. How's that possible? Well, it's only Wednesday. And then, so, it's just like, I guess what I'm trying to say is I'm rooting you on going into your Monday here. Get in there, get up, take some advice from our guy Paul Ecker, who was on tonight. Get up in the morning, get your shower on, get yourself set up at your desk or wherever you're working in your house, and set some concrete goals for yourself and have a day and do a little check mark. Feel good about what you did. I think it's important. And a lot of people joining the show tonight. I just want to say, give my shout outs and thank yous. Gary Conkright, Phys IQ was on with their new technology that's coming through that hopefully will release some of the pressures on the hospitals so you can monitor people at home. I think that could be incredibly important. Kelly Kittley was on the show, Serendipitous Psychotherapy, which she was all about, get that connection with your parents, with your kids. Super important. And my friend Robbie Baum with the hotel chain on as well tonight and the challenges there. So everybody's feeling it in different spots right now. But I also see like everyone moving forward, which is super cool. So, looking in the mirror, I plan on doing the same here. I will wrap up on something that I'm very hopeful that people are sort of doing, and that's odd, going back to home base here. But I am loving that when I turn on NBC Sports Chicago right now, I am getting all sorts of Chicago Bulls reruns. And I'm watching the Bulls right now. And I was, you know, I was a huge Bulls fan, a huge Michael fan. And I'm thinking back, like 1996, I was 22 years old. I felt like I knew everything. I understood basketball better than Bobby Knight, Mike Krzyzewski, Phil Jackson. I was an expert watching it. But my, you know, 46-year-old eyes watching, and I was like, wow, I feel like I'm getting way more understanding of what actually was going on than I did back then, and appreciation for what Michael was doing, and Ron Harper, and Scottie Pippen, and just watching the different dynamics. And I know we've seen these games, but and there's a lot of options out there, but I have loved watching that era, the greatest era of basketball in this town by 7 gazillion miles. And it's just playing right in front of you. Like this is what a reprieve from everything that's going on right now. We'll watch a little Jordan on the screen and act like it's in real time. And I'm sending out tweets at the Carm. Feel free to follow me. Like, all just feels right in the world. All right, this sucks. We can watch some Jordan And I know that Marquee is coming to the markets, replaying the Cubs World Series. I know we're going to get it. We're getting a ton of Blackhawks games. I saw people were celebrating watching the Predators last night, Game 5. Like, all of that just, I don't know if it's important, but it feels good. I'm glad they're doing it. So, in addition to handling everything that's going on, get yourself a good, solid distraction. And that has been my favorite distraction going on right now. And they had on CBS, on channel, on CBS National, they replayed Jordan versus Ewing, 1982. That was just sweet. Hey, Ben Anderson, thank you so much for producing. Rick Hogan is up next. We are staying three studios away. That's the safety that we're doing. Rick, have a great show. News coming up in 15 seconds. Thank you for being with me tonight.